The Truth News Network.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth?
No worries anymore.
Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Guess what, folks? It's Friday. Thank goodness today is Friday. I hope you've had a good week, and I hope you're going to have a better Friday, and I really, really hope you're going to have a great weekend. So how are we going to cap off this week? First of all, let me tell you, we had over a million people join us yesterday for our discussions and to listen to Congressman Mike Johnson. I want to say to all of you, thank you so much for being a part of this. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. And if at any time you don't want us to be around, staying, doing what we're doing, guess what? We're going to go away. I love doing the work for this, but I promise you it is a lot of work. I've got something extra special on my mind today, and I just can't get it off my mind. I've got to address it. I've got to talk to you about it. I'm sick and tired of these models that these so-called experts keep coming up with. I mean, every country on earth has someone, some group, that's creating a coronavirus model. We have them all over the United States. And it's just like everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a coronavirus model. And of course, theirs is the best possible model there is, the most accurate model there can be. But it doesn't work out that way. So what we're going to do today is we are going to discuss and give you, maybe not all of, but a huge chunk of those fake things that we've heard that are supposed to be factual that we find out weren't factual. And this list, folks, will exhaust you. Let's get started. This week, New York City started counting deaths as coronavirus fatalities if the patient had not been tested for the disease but was suspected postmortem of having it. This relaxed standard increased the U.S. death count by 17%. That was said by Heather McDonald, also reporting the New York City accounted for 37% of national deaths in the Hill. That was on April 18th. It's imperfect data, but we're going to use it because it's the one we have. That was Lorenzo Gonzalez, Puerto Rico Health Secretary, admitting their COVID-19 data was distorted by counting some positive cases twice. That was printed in the Associated Press, April 18th. In this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. There are other countries that, if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problems, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. The intent here in the U.S. is if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death. That was famous or infamous Dr. Deborah Birx in the task force briefing on April the 7th. The model has so far overestimated the number of beds needed to treat pandemic patients. The forecast predicted that the United States would need around 164,750 hospital beds for COVID-19 patients on April 4th. Yet the COVID tracking project reported only around 22,158 currently hospitalized coronavirus patients nationwide. The model estimated that 65,434 patients would need hospital beds in New York State on April the 3rd. In reality, there were 15,905 hospitalizations in that state. That's according to COVID tracking project. That was printed in Just the News on April the 5th. I've looked at all the models. I've spent a lot of time on the models. They don't tell you anything. You can't really rely upon the models. Now, who do you think said that? Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yes, Dr. Fauci quoted in the Washington Post on April the 2nd. Several researchers have apparently asked to see Imperial's calculations, But Professor Neil Ferguson, the man leading the team, has said that the computer code is 13 years old, and thousands of lines of it are undocumented, making it hard for anyone to work with. Reasonable people might wonder whether something made with 13-year-old undocumented computer code should be used to justify shutting down the economy. April 1st from the Wall Street Journal. We've seen all too terribly the consequences of those who denied warnings of a pandemic. We can't afford any more consequences of climate denial. Barack Obama, hyping coronavirus and climate model propaganda on Twitter, March 31st. Looking at what we're seeing now in the models, I would say between 100,000 and 200,000 deaths. But I don't want to be held to that. Dr. Fauci on CNN on April 30th. If we do things almost perfectly, we could get in the range of 100,000 to 200,000 fatalities. Dr. Birx on NBC's Today Show on March 30th. You've all seen the models. You've seen the models from Imperial. You've seen the models from Columbia University. We've reviewed 12 different models. We went back to the drawing board. And when we finished, the other group that was working in parallel and Chris Murray ended up at the same numbers. All of the flu models predicted anywhere between 1.6 and 2.2 million fatalities. Dr. Birx, WhiteHouse.gov on March 29th. It's anywhere in the model between 80,000 and 160,000, maybe potentially 200,000 succumbing to this. That's with mitigation. Dr. Birx again in WhiteHouse.gov on March 29th. All the predictions say you could have an apex needing 140,000 beds and about 40,000 ventilators. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't operate here on opinion. I operate on facts and on data and on numbers and on projections. Governor Cuomo, March 27th, demanding Trump send 30,000 ventilators, quoted at The Blaze. At its peak on April the 8th, New York needed fewer than 6,000 ventilators and is now shipping them to other states. You pick the 26,000 people who are going to die. New York's Cuomo in plea to Trump administration for ventilators. That was from Market Watch, after which Trump pointed out that New York already had stockpiles of ventilators and Cuomo had to admit this was true on March 24th. Doing nothing equals 2.2 million deaths. Modest mitigation equals 1.5 million deaths. Serious mitigation equals 1.1 million deaths. Massive suppression for a long time equals 200,000 deaths. Here's the punch-in-the-gut version of the Imperial College coronavirus study. That was from Mother Jones on March 17th. A flood of new research suggests that far more people have had the coronavirus without any symptoms, fueling hope that it will turn out to be much less lethal than originally feared, said Dr. Michael Mina of Harvard School of Public Health. New statistics suggest we have just been off the mark by huge, huge numbers for estimating total infections. From the Associated Press, April the 20th. The dreaded surge of coronavirus cases, which some credentialed experts had warned would overwhelm Florida's hospital system, has not happened. In fact, fewer than 3,000 coronavirus patients have even been hospitalized in Florida. Despite clear evidence that Florida's pandemic is past its peak, the same experts who predicted have failed so often before are forecasting the state's outbreak will get worse. Florida has beaten a surge. Will the media notice? That's a story in the American Spectator published April the 15th. Report: coronavirus fatality rate much lower than anticipated, close to flu, 0.1%. That's from Law Enforcement Today, citing April the 11th study in The Economist. Here are New York State decreasing numbers for new hospitalizations, ICU beds, and intubations. And this is with hospitals coding every possible case as COVID-19 because of the 20% bonus. Nobody who needs a bed is getting sent home. There is no triage. Alex Berenson former New York Times reporter, attaching charts from Governor Andrew Cuomo's briefing on Twitter, April the 13th. If you flatten the curve, you also prolong to widen it, and it takes more time. And I don't see a good reason for a respiratory disease to stay in the population longer than necessary. Newt Witskowski, former head of the Department of Biostatistics, Epidemiology, and Research Design at Rockefeller University, advocating herd immunity. And that was from the College Fix on April the 7th. The hospitals are eerily quiet, except for COVID-19. I have heard this sentiment from fellow doctors across the U.S. and in many other countries. We are all asking, where are all the patients with heart attacks and stroke? They are missing from our hospitals. Yale New Haven Hospital, where I work, had almost 300 people stricken with COVID-19. Yet, we are not yet at capacity because of a marked decline in our usual types of patients. In more normal times, we never had so many empty beds. Dr. Harlan Krumholtz in Where Have All the Heart Attacks Gone? Published in the New York Times on April the 6th. To put the model figures into context, let's consider influenza. The CDC estimates that the current flu season has sickened between 39 and 55 million Americans and resulted in 24,000 to 63,000 deaths. Seasonal flu has a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%. That's Alex Barizow in the USA Today on April the 4th. If we're going to shut down the entire nation's economy to flatten the curve based on the projections of a single model, it shouldn't be too much to ask that the model approximate reality when it comes to hospitalizations. Sean Davis, who's an editor of The Federalist, in Twitter on April 2nd. The distinction between dying with COVID-19 and dying due to COVID-19 is not just splitting hairs. Dr. John Lee, UK pathologist, pointing out that people with various terminal illnesses who die are being counted as victims of coronavirus, which has dramatically skewed the numbers internationally. That's from the UK Spectator, March 29th. More needs to be known about these models. Do they correct for age, pre-existing conditions, changing virulence, the effects of death certification, and other factors? Tweak any of these assumptions, and the outcome and the predicted death toll can change radically. Governments must remember that rush science is almost always bad science. Dr. John Lee, the UK Spectator, on March 28th. Then on January 21st, quote, "This is not a major threat for the people of the United States, and this is not something that the citizens of the United States right now should be worried about." Guess who? Dr. Anthony Fauci. January 26th, "The American people should not be worried or frightened by this. It's a very, very low risk to the U.S. It isn't something that the American public needs to worry about or be frightened about." Again, Dr. Fauci in the Cats Roundtable with John Casimides, a podcast on January 26th. January 29th, "President Trump announced the formation of the President's Coronavirus Task Force to lead the administration's efforts to monitor, contain, and mitigate the spread of this virus while ensuring that American people have the most accurate and up-to-date health and travel information." That's in WhiteHouse.gov. Meanwhile, the Democrats and the media were 100% focused on what? On impeachment. This was the same day, the exact same day as ABC 6 News reported, Democrats say Americans want witnesses at Trump impeachment trial. January 31st, "To protect Americans from the threat of this harmful communicable disease, I have determined to restrict and suspend the entry into the U.S. as immigrants or non-immigrants of all aliens who were physically present within the People's Republic of China, preceding their entry or attempted entry into the United States, and we should take all necessary and appropriate measures to facilitate quarantine of persons allowed to enter the U.S. who may have been exposed to this virus." President Trump in WhiteHouse.gov. On the same day, This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science. Joe Biden, when he was campaigning in Madison, Iowa, reacting to Trump's restrictions to Asia, that was printed in Reuters. February 9th. Today, our city is celebrating the Lunar New Year Parade in Chinatown, a beautiful cultural tradition with a rich history in our city. I want to remind everyone to enjoy the parade, not to change any plans due to misinformation spreading about coronavirus. Oxyris Barbeau, New York City Health Commissioner, on Twitter. That's what we're trying to do today, is to say everything is fine here. Nancy Pelosi hugging locals in San Francisco's Chinatown and urging people to visit. That's from the NBC Bay Area News. February 29th. No, right now, at this moment, there's no need to change anything that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Right now, the risk is still really low. Dr. Fauci asked on NBC's Today if people want to go to malls and movies, maybe the gym as well. Should we be changing our habits? That was quoted at Breitbart. March 2nd. This isn't our first rodeo. Excuse our arrogance as New Yorkers. We think we have the best healthcare system on the planet right here in New York. We don't even think it's going to be as bad as it was in other countries. Governor Cuomo, after the first New Yorker was diagnosed with the coronavirus after her flight from Qatar. This story was in the New York Times. Cuomo said investigators would track down every person on the patient's flight. But guess what? It never happened. Since I'm encouraging New Yorkers to go on with your lives and get out of town, and despite coronavirus, I thought I would offer some suggestions. Go see the traitor, Mayor Bill de Blasio, on Twitter. March 9th. If you're a healthy young person, there's no reason if you want to go on a cruise ship, go on a cruise ship. Who said that? Dr. Fauci, White House press conference, printed in Forbes magazine, March the 9th. March the 11th, if you're not sick, you should be going about your life. Mayor de Blasio. March 25th, we welcome people from across the globe. We have people coming here. We have people who came here from China, who came here from Italy, who came here from countries all around the globe. We have international travelers who were in China, and who were in Italy, and who were in Korea, and who came here. Governor Cuomo, in a press conference. March 26, Dr. Fauci co-authors a study in the New England Journal of Medicine concluding that COVID-19 may be more akin to influenza with a fatality rate of 0.1% than a more serious disease like SARS or MERS. How about that, folks? So much for the experts. Well, let's just check in with those other experts. You know who they are, all of our buddies in the media. Let's look at a little media malfeasance. Keep in mind, Americans are dying during these Trump briefings. During yesterday's briefing between 5:30 and 7:45, there were 93 reported deaths. That's Katie Turr, MSNBC anchor, on Twitter. It was an editing mistake. We took immediate steps to remove it from all platforms and shows. CBS spokesperson for CBS News aired footage of that Italian hospital during a segment about U.S. hospitals in the Washington Examiner. Yet the same footage appeared again a few days later with another piece about U.S. hospitals on CBS News Digital. There are plenty of reasons to believe that the coronavirus death toll is actually being significantly undercounted, in fact, rather than overcounted. Aaron Blake providing no evidence for his assertion in the Washington Post on March 8th. This is Trump's fault. David Frum, never Trumper, The Atlantic, April 7th. Is coronavirus Donald Trump's Katrina? Chris Cillizza, CNN, March 8th. Leading in confirmed cases, the U.S. will be the world's coronavirus epicenter within days. And it's Trump's fault. Paul Krugman in the Chicago Tribune, March 26th. After daily being consumed by articles and tweets about the sociopathic behavior of Donald Trump and the coming tsunami of coronavirus infection and death, I came across how Natasha Ott felt symptoms on Monday, March 10th, and a little more than a week later, she was dead of pulmonary failure. In the intervening time, her symptoms became so severe that she took a COVID-19 test, but it didn't come back by the time she died. Natasha Ott, who may have lost her life because there were too few COVID-19 test kits by Trump's heinous design. That was first published in BuzzFlash on March 22nd. Incidentally, Ott was tested twice and both came back negative, reports the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Have you had enough of that, folks? You know, they never put stuff in context for us when they report all of this nastiness, when it's going around and fingers all point to the White House. You're at fault, President Trump. You did it all. You didn't prepare us. When what you just heard were the facts by all of those experts, they missed everything, folks. They missed everything. You know what? Your opinion, my opinion, was just as valid as the opinions of all of those experts put together. So what have we done? We pretty much destroyed the American economy. We've put 34, 35, 36 million Americans in 2 months out of work. Nobody's doing anything productive because we can't do anything productive. But you know who's working on another plan to spend another $3 trillion taxpayer dollars that we don't have? Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the rest of the Democrat Party. 1,800-page bill. They gave it to the other side of the aisle Tuesday. 1,800 pages, folks. And they're going to vote on it today. Does that sound like leadership? Does that sound like anybody at all that has a care in the world about you or me, what we think, what our circumstances are? They think they can put a little money in your hands, put some more in my hand, and that we're going to be fine. We'll just go sit down or even lay down beside our bowls and be quiet. Is that what you're going to do? That's not what I'm going to do. So why don't we do this? Why don't we go into the weekend with a smile on our faces in spite of what you just heard? Just knowing this, you know the truth now. You're not hearing from anyone else all of the failed predictions and assertions that were made all the way back since January. And then they come right back around and they tell us another story, forgetting that they told us the first one. That's the way partisanship operates. They have a plan, and I hate to tell you this, but we're not really much of a big part in their plan. On that note, here's what I want for you. I want you to have a glorious, wonderful weekend. Don't forget our Saturday bullet points. Tomorrow morning when you get up, instead of going to grab the newspaper and reading the same old stuff, just get up, go to your computer, grab a hot cup of coffee, and come to Truth News Network. truthnewsnet.org. We'll have our bullet points. What we do is we grab all of the headlines of the events that you may have missed in all of this political furor all week long that are about some really important things. We'll have those in bullet point for you. And the way it works is you read a sentence or two about that item. And if you want to read more, there's a link there you click on. It will take you to the complete story. Until we get together again, I want you to think about this. God loves you. He really loves you. He wants the best for you, and he certainly wants the best for our country. I love you here at Truth News Network, too. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you soon at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
The truth, straight, no chaser. TNN, the Truth News Network.